You're in the loop. We're here to discuss the ups, downs, and sideways of the sport of figure skating, and maybe give you +5 to your wheel along the way. Let's introduce this week's host.
Hi, I'm Evie, and I've been running on basically no sleep for the past 2 weeks, and I am loving it! You can find me on Twitter at DoubleFlots.
Hi, I'm Neve, and I'm using this time before the senior events start to adopt children from everywhere. You can find me on Twitter at RiverDance.
Hi, y'all! I'm Yogita, and I'm here to support every single one of these children. You can find me on Twitter at Liliorum.
So guys, guess what? The season started properly! Woo! Children! I'm so glad we finally got some competitions to watch.
Worlds feels like yesterday.
It really does. This off-season, just, I don't know if it was just, you know, our perception of time has shifted or something's weird has gone on in the universe, but this off-season just felt like it's breezed by so freaking quickly. It's so weird that we're now two whole competitions into the season.
Yeah, there wasn't the same, like, space of time with no content.
But yes, we've had the start of the Junior Grand Prix, and lots of kids have returned to us, and we've got lots of new kids.
Please.
All the kids.
And we want to talk about them today. So yeah, in this episode, we're going to be talking about the first two stops of the Junior Grand Prix for this season, which were the Junior Grand Prix in Courchevel, France, last week, and then the Junior Grand Prix in Lake Placid, which just finished up today as we're recording this. So yeah, we'll be talking about all the events there, some common themes that we saw, and of course we'll be talking in detail about some of our favorite performances across both competitions and all the disciplines.
So for this Junior Grand Prix, we are going to be making playlists on our YouTube channel for each event, which will contain all of the programs from the medalists and some of our favorites from the team. So if you didn't have the chance to watch the event and you want to catch up, you know where to go.
We also have some special interviews from juniors, yay, more kids, from both this competition and the next daughter website, indelowpodcast.com. We have interviews from Wolf Costin and Chen, Joseph Fan, and Gabriella Izzo out now. We have more in the works, so please stay tuned.
And they're really, really cute interviews too, so yeah, I highly recommend going to check them out, you know, get to know them a bit better. I know, especially when I was listening to Joseph's and Gabby's, that I was just like, oh, I liked them like last season, but now I've just kind of, you know, built up that kind of personal knowledge of them that I'm like, oh great, I have adopted them. They are now my kids.
I will protect them.
In this season, we adopt every single child.
This is going to be the first of 3 Junior Grand Prix episodes that we're going to do this season. The second will be coming out in just a few weeks and feature our discussion on JGP Latvia, Russia, and Poland. And then the third episode will be covering Croatia and Italy, and that's going to be released in early October. So even though we're doing less episodes than last season covering the JGP, we've still got so much bonus content planned for you guys in the meantime. So keep your eyes peeled on our Twitter and our website for any updates about it. All right, so let's start off by talking about the pairs. And of course, there was only one pairs event out of the two events because, you know, some of the Junior Grand Prix don't have pairs competitions, but Lake Placid did. The podium was all Russian, which is, you know, not a surprise.
Not a surprise.
Yeah, last season it was, what, 14 out of 15 medals went to the Russians.
The only non-Russian team that medaled last season in the Junior Grand Prix was the US pairs team Feng and Nyman, who split up a few weeks ago. The podium here at Lake Placid was in gold. We have Apollinaria Panfilova and Dmitry Rylov. In second, we have Ksenia Akhanteva and Valery Kolosov. And in third, we have Alina Pepeleva and Roman Pleshkov.
Go you for being able to say all the Russian names in one go.
Oh, thank you.
It only gets harder from here.
So yeah, unsurprisingly, like we said, the entire podium here was Russian. And that's, you know, a common theme throughout pairs in juniors. Although the field here in general in the Junior Grand Prix this season is a bit different because Mishina Galiamov, who won the Junior World Championships last season and the final, and they went senior this year. We also have Kostyukovic and Ehlin, who were missing from a lot of the assignments for the first couple Junior Grand Prix. They do have one. It's Croatia. That's the second last one.
Everyone's at Croatia.
Yeah, the Croatia men's lineup is terrifying.
We had a kind of like changes in the Russian pairs field for this Junior Grand Prix. again, I'm really surprised that Kosciuszkowicz and Ehlin weren't in earlier assignments. The only thing I could possibly think of that would like set them back is the possibility that maybe they got injured in the off season, which I really hope isn't the case. But yeah, we had Panfilova and Rylov win a junior Grand Prix, which is really, really nice, because I think the general consensus in ITL is that we love and cherish them.
Yes, they are amazing. Who needs triples? Not us.
What are triples?
Who needs triples when you have skating skills and extension like that? Am I right?
Yes.
And even though the other two Russian teams, they did have triple side-by-sides, the level of consistency that Panfilova and Rylov have, like, not just in their double jumps, which even though Dmitry did make a mistake in the free on his combo, but, you know, their consistency in their throws, which are absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, their throws are so high.
And Apolinari's like extension on the landings and how long she keeps that running edge is just extremely good food.
She could teach the Russian ladies how to hold a running edge.
Teach them how to hold positions.
But like, even though their technical content is lower, the problem is that like at this competition, Akinteva and Kolosov and Pepeleva and Pleshkov, both those teams had problems landing either their side-by-sides or the throws in both programs, even, you know, though their tech content was higher in the free. And that's really where, you know, Panfilova and Rylov's grade of execution and just overall consistency really does them good, because, you know, they're landing everything most of the time. And they're just so good at it that they can get those really, really high scores.
And their components are in a league of their own, too. So even if they get beat on the technical side, they probably will still win because of their components.
And deservedly so. I really like their choice of short program for the season, where they're skating to music from The Matrix, which is, you know, very much a departure from what they kind of had like last season, when they had the jazzy short program, then they had the more like traditional classical free skate, which they still kind of have this season, which definitely, you know, works for them. But, you know, The Matrix is a very kind of dark, edgy soundtrack, and I think they really suit that kind of music.
Yeah, I'm excited to see them explore more music, because I feel like I'm just kind of tired of seeing classical and lyrical pieces. I want to see people like experiment and try new music choices, because there's so many more music choices.
That's just kind of the theme of Pairs though as a whole, is like just classical pieces.
Yeah, especially because like last season's their free skate to Charms, that was one of my favorite, like, not just junior Pairs programs, but I think Pairs programs in general, it was really, really pretty. I think this season's, like, I was definitely impressed by what I saw here, and I'm really like looking forward to see how it grows, but it's gonna have a hard time beating their previous free skate for me, and just in general, you know, classical skating.
I'm just the triple twist in their short program.
That was amazing.
And it's like, it's what started the program, so it was just kind of like, after that, you were like, oh my gosh.
It just grabs your attention straight away, because it's just so perfect.
Yeah.
And just, you know, their lifts, their positions in the lifts, Apolinaria always hits a good position, and the ice coverage that they get on all of them is just, you know, so much faster, and they cover so much more distance than the other teams. It just, oh god, I love them so much, you guys.
They're great. So a small shout out to Weedy Wang for completing the free despite injuring herself during warm-up. She had like a really bad fall during the warm-up, and it looked like she had hurt her foot, but she went on, she tried her best, and it was honestly, they did really well considering the fact that she was injured literally like a few minutes before they skated.
Although we couldn't really see like what caused the injury, because the Pairs stream during Lake Placid was a bit of a glitchy mess at that point, but I'm glad she persevered, and I hope that she manages to get treatment if she was seriously injured by that fall.
Yeah, I like think that that team too has like a pretty strong potential. Like they could potentially podium if they go clean.
Yeah, definitely. They were really, really close behind Pepeleva and Pleshkov in the short program.
But this also is just like Pairs ladies, man.
You have to be strong to be a Pairs lady.
You sure do. All right, let's go on to talking about the men's competition at both of these events.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they were a bit all over the place, but shockingly, like, both of these events had, like, the same countries on the podium in the exact same order both times.
Oh, my God. I never actually noticed. We had from Grand Prix Courchevel, Yuma Kageyama in first place from Japan. In second place, we had Alexa Rakic from Canada and Andrei Kudovoy from Russia in third place. And from Lake Placid, we had Shun Sato from Japan in first, Steven Gugulev from Canada in second, and Gleb Lutfilin in third from Russia.
Yeah, so both of these podiums, same countries on all positions, which is crazy. And we had two Japanese men win at both events, which is refreshing.
Also crazy.
Yeah.
I've been so used to Japanese men being super inconsistent every time they're in a free skate.
Last season especially was a bit up and down.
Yuma being mostly clean was so refreshing.
Both events were very different though. Like, Courchevel was a lot cleaner than Lake Placid.
Well, Lake Placid also had more quads.
It did, yeah.
True.
Because Yuma was the only one doing quads at Courchevel.
Yeah, because Adam had withdrawn.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Yuma did two quads in his free, two quad toes. And he landed both of them on one foot.
Ooh. And rotated.
That's all we can ask for at the end of the day. Yeah, both of these events were kind of weird in the fact that we had, like, two major withdrawals from pretty well-known junior men. So, yeah, like we said, Adam Siauhimfar of France withdrew from Courchevel, like, a week before the competition started. And we also had Peter Guminik of Russia, who withdrew from Lake Placid. So, you know, it was kind of a bit of a shock, and it led to the question, like, who was gonna, you know, rise to the occasion. Although we still did have some, like, we did have big names at both of these events that everyone was kind of anticipating.
I was really sad to hear when Peter withdrew because I adopted him last season because he was like the tiny Russian pixie boy.
He was at the Russian test skates a couple of weeks ago and he was looking pretty solid, although he has also gone through a growth spurt. He's still pretty tiny, but he's just slightly less tiny than he was a couple months ago. Like, I hope it's just a case of his programs maybe not being ready yet and choosing to withdraw and go to a later assignment rather than something going wrong physically.
Russian assignments will be interesting because Andre doesn't have a second assignment yet either.
Well, Andre will probably get one now that he's in a podium position.
Let's go on to talk about some of the programs from both competitions in a bit more in depth. So yeah, we wanted to talk first about the winner of Junior Grand Prix Courchevel, Yuma Kageyama, who won the event by over 30 points. Again, he was the only one doing quads, and the fact that he landed them.
We love that for him.
Yeah, he rotated and he landed, and so that's the power of quads, man.
Especially in the short program, when he landed that, like, his first triple axel, like, right out of the gate, it was perfect. Like,
oh, that was so smooth, his knee bend.
It was so good.
His triple axel reminds me a lot of Shoma's triple axel.
Yeah! It's really, really smooth, and he's got a lot of speed going in and out of it, and it definitely reminds me of Shoma.
Well, Yuma just has a lot of speed.
He does. He goes num. He nums. But I think that, like, in comparison to last season, when, you know, he was quite new and slightly unpolished last season, I think he's really gained, like, an awareness of his upper body, especially like his hands. I noticed his hand movements in both programs were really quite refined this time, and it was really good to see, because, you know, that's what we kind of hope for. We hope that juniors, you know, as the season goes on, that they get way more refined, and
especially because, like, the choreography in the short program especially, his arm movements could have come across as freely, if that's the word, like, just the way the choreography is laid out, but it was fine because he has pretty good control over his arm movements, so it didn't come across like that.
He also has really good posture.
Yeah, he does
as well. He just in general has, like, really good control over his body, and I think he's actually grown into a very musical skater.
I think once he gets kind of a handle on just expression in his performance, because I think sometimes that his face kind of disengages with the just program in general while he's skating, which isn't, you know, unusual in juniors. That's definitely a skill that grows over time, and so I really hope going forward that, you know, he works a little bit more on outwardly expressing, trying to match the intensity of the programs a little bit more. But just, I'm so impressed by him here.
Yeah, I think his free skate is very, very fun. So I think it's really going to test his ability to actually perform, because he actually has to perform and be active and engage with the audience for that one, versus his short program, which I think is a little more, like, refined. so you don't have to be as engaged for like those types of programs. So I'm really excited to see how he evolves his free skate as the season progresses.
All right, so should we go on to talk about one of Neve's newly adopted sons, Andrei Kutavoy of Russia, who was kind of the surprise, like, breakout hit of this competition. I think he was definitely a surprise to a lot of us in the team while we were watching it. Neve, I think we should let you take this one away, considering he is your son.
Yes, go sell your son.
He's so round.
He is round.
He is a tiny round boy.
The first thing I noticed during Stephen Gugalev's Lake Placid was I just got really sad because I realized Andre was going
to
grow.
I mean, puberty is a thing that happens, Neve. You have to come to terms with it early.
Like, he's only 13, and I swear his, like, expression and presentation would challenge half of the senior men's.
Oh my god, like, when I saw his short program, my first thought was, oh my god, this kid can perform.
His expression is so mature for his age. I was really, really shocked.
And even his Les Mis, like, Les Mis can be very boring.
Oh yeah.
But it like, I didn't even notice it was Les Mis. I was too busy just jamming to the music and the choreo.
He gets into those programs like 110%. And he's just 13.
His expression is so good. His performance level, considering his age, is so good. And I'm really glad that he managed to get on the podium here, considering his short program wasn't completely clean.
Speaking of the podium, can we just do a mild conversation about the mess of the men's podium?
So at Courchevel, the French Federation decided it was going to be a great idea to give all of the junior skaters wine decanters, because obviously junior skaters drink wine.
13-year-olds need wine.
Well, it is France, guys. But yeah, they gave them all these giant wine decanters, and then they had the flowers as well. And so, you know, it was just a juggling act of having those things and then having to shake the hands of the referees and the organizing committee, which is never a good thing whenever there are, like, multiple things to give to the medalists at any event. I always worry that they're going to drop something.
Also, Hume's decanter had a handle, but this boy did not want to hold the handle of this decanter.
Was he scared of the handle?
He held that decanter every way you could, except by the handle.
There was a period where all three of them were on the top part of the podium, and I genuinely feared for all of their lives.
We've got some shout outs from this men's event here at Courchevel. I have Yudong Chen from China, who had a really fun, jazzy short program to No Man, No Cry. I think we all very much enjoyed that here. We also have Maxim Naumov of the US with very, very good music choices in both programs. He skated to Muse in this short program, and then in his free skated to Who Wants to Live Forever. So yes, good job with the music picks. I very much approve those.
Continue with the good music choices.
So let's move on to Lake Placid Men's. Talk about our other Japanese gold medalist, Shun Sato.
Shun!
This was his junior Grand Prix debut, guys.
Honestly, JSF is dumb for not giving him an assignment last season. I know that was definitely a bit like a topic of contention in the fandom in general last season, that Shun didn't get an assignment even though he was age eligible. And I'm just like, send him places, please, JSF.
When does JSF ever send anyone that, like, should be sent anywhere? Send Ayaka somewhere, please.
Honestly. Yeah, he attempted 3 quads in his free skate here, which was more than impressive to say the least. And his quad toe, wow. That's all I could say. Just, it's really, really nice. Although sals continue to be snakes.
Sals are banned until further notice. The further notice is never.
I adopted Shin last season. I was on the bandwagon of people yelling at the JSF for not sending him to Junior Grand Prix. But I'm kind of, like, happy that they didn't, because last season he was still very, very unrefined. He was extremely focused on the jumps and had no real components to speak of. And so I think he's definitely, like, grown a lot in the off season and has been trying to improve his components. And you can definitely see that in his skating. He's still extremely jump focused. So hopefully he will continue to spend more time being focused on improving his components. But I also hear he's trying to jump a quad loop now, so
Oh boy. Yeah, I mean, I think this competition was really the competition where Shun really won me over. I watched him last season at a couple of the competitions he was in, and I really didn't get any, like, solid connection from his skating. I think it was mainly just down to his, you know, him being so new, his expression being a little bit unrefined in his programs last season. But I think here he really kind of won me over. He's clearly improved over the off season, like you said, Yogs, and just, yeah, I'm really excited to see how the rest of the season will go for him, if, you know, how he'll do in his second assignment. I think, especially with his free skate, his Romeo and Juliet free skate, you know.
We don't speak of Romeo and Juliet in this house.
I know, but I think it actually suits him quite well. I don't actually mind his Romeo and Juliet. All right, let's go on to talking about Stephen Gogolev of Canada.
Oh my God, growth spurt.
I know, yeah, he's so much taller than the last time we saw him. He was shocked.
This is his first season under his new coach, Rafael Artunian.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us were quite, you know, interested to see how he'd go having this really big, you know, coaching change. And yeah, he's definitely taller, and he didn't bring a free skate costume this time, which is, I'm guessing that his free costume just wasn't ready and in time.
Why not just wear one of his other costumes, or just rewear your short program costumes?
Well, no, he's gone through the growth spurt, y'all, because do you really expect any of his old ones to fit him anymore?
Well, let's talk about Steven's jumps, because that's the most interesting part of his move to RAF, is that he's retooling his entire, like, jump kit. And you can definitely see RAF's hand in a lot of his jumps now. Like how he has no axle anymore.
The true RAF initiation.
He only did one quad attempt in the free. Last season he was pulling around the quadlets. So I'm happy to see that, like, RAF actually took that out and is retooling his LUTs, so he'll hopefully have a better LUTs in the future.
You noticed in both programs when he did do his triple LUTses that his toe picking is a lot cleaner than it was last season. There's not as much pre-rotation. There's still a little bit, but there's like a bit more of an acceptable amount on it this time rather than last season, where it could get to like half a rotation before he actually left the ice. It's really good to see. I'm wondering if, you know, while they retool his jumping technique and get his toe picking cleaner, if we're going to see the quad LUTs return maybe like halfway through the season, you know, maybe Canadian Nationals or Junior Worlds, if it'll make a comeback. I'm glad that it's out of there at the moment, because with all the changes going on in his life, I don't think he needs to be going for all the crazy quads right now.
Yeah.
Well, I also think like he's grown a lot, so he has to like just get used to what his body is like again, so I'm sure we'll see Gogolev landing successful quads in his future events, and hopefully he'll land the triple axel again.
RIP him though, having to deal with new coaching system and a growth spurt.
I like his free skate, so I am excited to see it, how it grows in the future. Gogolev really needs to work on his expression. It was an issue last season. It's still an issue now. I don't think it's something that Rafael Artunian is a good coach for, so hopefully he has someone else helping on that regard.
And we'd like to give other shout-outs to Harrison Bean for his Johnny the Swan tribute.
The direct copy of the costume, which was crazy to see.
It was just kind of that moment, is it going to be the Swan? Is it not? Also, Gleb Lutfulin for being a very happy podium Russian.
When Gleb skated and he just did a quad, literally me and like everybody else was just like, did he just do a quad? Where did he come from? How did we not know he existed?
And also Ilya Malinin's triple axel for being great.
An American man having a good triple axel sounds like a fake story, but oh my God.
All right, moving on to ice dance. Our podiums at both of these events for Courchevel. In gold, we have Elizaveta Shaneva and David Narizhny of Russia. In silver, we have Louisia Demojour and Theo Lemercier of France. And in third, we have Ekaterina Katenshinskaya and Alexander Vaskovich of Russia. And then for our Lake Placid podium, in first, we have Avonlea Wen and Vadim Kolesnik of the US. In second, we have Diana Davis and Gleb Smolkin of Russia. And in third, we have Natalie Tashilarova and Filip Tashler of the Czech Republic. So this was the first couple of events where we saw the tea time foxtrot pattern, which is the required pattern for this season, in action.
It's so long.
Why is it so long?
It is extremely long. And of course, that means that we have to return to the pattern technical corner once again for the second season in a row. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the pattern technical corner. We're going to talk about tea time foxtrot quickly, because yes, it's a long and complicated boy.
Why is it so complicated? They're juniors. They're only babies.
It's definitely a lot. This pattern, it's pretty brand new. This is the first time that this pattern has been used as an assigned pattern in competitive season. And it was actually adapted from Natalia Kalashek and Maxim Spadireyev's 2015-16 short dance step sequence. And yes, it is quite long and pretty complex in comparison to like Argentine Tango, which was last season's pattern. Not only is it long, there are a lot of steps, it's quite fast, and there are a lot of changes of hold in this pattern.
It's really interesting to watch, but it's also very long.
I think it's a really good, like, differentiator between teams that are younger or just inexperienced with one another, because especially in regards to, like, the changes of hold and position, you can tell when a team isn't comfortable skating together because all their arms just become, like, noodly and flaily. We didn't have any clean performances of the pattern in either competition, which, you know, I'm not expecting considering this is the first and second junior major competition of the season. You know, it takes a while for them to kind of, especially considering this is a brand new pattern, it's going to take probably a while until we get some clean ones, I think.
Honestly, I never expect a clean pattern.
True. We also kind of had some technical difficulties at Courchevel and the rhythm dance.
Well, it's France. What do you expect?
I know. But the music kept skipping, and, like, for a couple of the performances, it skipped for a couple seconds, like, right at the beginning, and it didn't affect the teams because they could just restart the music again. But when the US dance team, Katarina Wolf-Kosten and Jeffrey Chen, were skating, it stopped right in the middle of the last couple key points in the first section of the pattern. And so they had to completely stop the program and, like, go over to the referee, and then they restarted the music where they were up to. I felt so sorry for them in that moment.
Yeah, that must have been so terrible.
It must have been a real big hit to their confidence, especially since this is their first junior international event together as a team.
They're a new team, aren't they?
Yeah.
Let's go on to talking about some of our favorites at both the competitions. So starting at Courchevel, we have the winners, Elisaveta and David. Their music choices this season, I am a complete fan of.
They're so good. I support both their rhythm dance and their free dance.
They're so good. The Body and Clyde rhythm dance is just a really, really fun piece of music. And then their free dance, which is To River by Bishop Briggs, is way more modern than we've seen them skate to. This is their second junior Grand Prix season. And last season they had, you know, a pretty traditional free. They skated to Samson and Delilah. And so this season, you know, they're going a bit more modern, a bit more fun. And I think it really suits them as a team. Plus their elements are just so nice.
Oh my god, their lifts.
Their rotational lifts.
Their lifts are so good. In their free, their combination with the rotational lift was stunning.
Not only the positions that they hit are really, really good, but the speed and ice coverage they get on them is really awesome. I'm not surprised that they have such good lifts considering they do train in the same camp as, like, Stepanova and Bukin, and also Shevchenko and Aramenko.
Their free did give me a Stepanova and Bukin vibe. It was very similar to the same type of style.
Yeah, the costumes did a lot for me as well.
Although, can we talk about the free dance? The weird choreographic slide in the free dance, though, where she, like, full-on slides on the ice on her back.
Yeah, I thought that they would get a deduction for that.
I'm really surprised that didn't get any sort of deduction, because I thought that that kind of slide would have constituted as a fall, but I guess not.
I guess as long as it's clear, it's meant to be the choreographic slide.
This might also just be a thing that might differ from panel to panel. We could maybe see a judging panel give it the choreography restriction violation maybe down the line.
They have a lot of really unique choreographic elements throughout their programs as well that really stand out to me. One of them is that they like do like a really small lift like at the start of the free dance, and I remember that moment because I was like, ooh, are they going to the lift? And it was just like not really a lift, but it was really interesting, and I thought it was a really cool like element that they had. So, and they had like a bunch of those throughout the free dance, so I really like that they're playing around with the choreography and doing more interesting things and other groups are.
We love variety. We wanted to talk about Emmy Bronsard and Aissa Boiragira of Canada. I think we all kind of enjoyed their free dance music choices because they were skating to David Bowie, which is, we don't see a lot of David Bowie programs.
I can always get behind a David Bowie program.
It was just so fun, and they looked so happy to perform it that I couldn't help but just love it with them.
They had really cool lifts, and they would definitely like fun choreographic elements and stuff. And yeah, it was just a really fun time all around for this program. And also, like, Honestly, I'm not expecting their skating skills to be fantastic and stellar, you know. But I think that especially Emmy, I think she could use a little bit more knee bend and just using the force of her knee bend to really power through in her stroking, because I think sometimes she gets a little bit slow. And I think maybe that the height similarities between both of them, because they're pretty similar in height, sometimes to compensate for that, Emmy has to kind of, it looks like she's almost slouching her shoulders forward in some of the movements, especially when they're doing like their step sequences in hold. So that might be something they want to be a little bit more conscious of, because it, you know, it kind of disrupts the like cleanliness of their lines overall. But still, hella fun program, and I appreciate David Bowie.
Yeah, they came in fourth. I would have honestly, I put them in the bronze position, but hopefully we'll be seeing more of them as the season goes on. Shout out to Chen and Jing's mismatch with cool costumes in the free dance. I stand by my belief that he was wearing the costume for the first half of the program and she was wearing the costume for the second half. left in Schuster's edges, because we do love some good edges in this house. And Wolf Costin and Chen for coming back after their sadly mess of a rhythm dance and came back with a beautiful free dance.
Alrighty, let's go on to talking about Lake Placid and starting off with our children, Avonlea and Vadim, who won their Junior Grand Prix here.
Won so handily, like, there was no doubt.
There wasn't any doubt.
They're skating to Aladdin and Rock 2, so obviously they have amazing music choices this season. Oh my god.
Honestly, their rhythm dance was so fun.
It was so fun. I could just watch that rhythm dance all day, even with the twizzle mistake, Adam. Please. Please, boy. Please, child.
Her dress was so beautiful.
Yeah, her dresses in both programs were so nice. Although, I think Vadim was wearing the same shirt that he wore in last season's free dance for the free dance here. So, I don't know if that's just a temporary thing.
Listen, they spent all of their money on Avonlea's costumes.
I mean, that's valid. Their lifts in both of these programs, though. Oh my god, guys. They were so beautiful.
They're just, their flow into all of their elements are perfection. Like, for a lot of, like, the junior teams, you can usually tell when an element is coming up. Like, oh, you can see them slowing down to, like, start on their lift. You can see them, like, getting ready to, like, start their twizzles. But, like, with them, I'm just, like, everything seems to be coming, like, out of nowhere. It's, like, so in sync and flows through the program so well, and it's all, like, so well choreographed.
Just cancel the musical theater rhythm dance now. No one can come close.
They talked about in interviews and stuff that their goal for the season is basically to win everything that they can. Like, they want to win both their Junior Grand Prix, the final US Nationals and Junior Worlds, and I commend them on being, you know, so goal-oriented, and honestly, I would like nothing more than to see that happen.
Their expression and their components are, like, at a senior level.
Completely deserved, yeah.
They set the technical score record with their free dance.
It's what they deserve.
Which is amazing, right? Out of, like, the gate of the Junior Grand Prix, like, they reset a record, like, that is amazing. So I look forward to them setting the actual free dance record as the season progresses.
US Ice Dance is in good hands.
I especially think with their free dance, like, Rack 2, you know, it's a classical piece of music, and I think it could easily be a program that could be boring if it wasn't skated with by a team that had those kind of skills in performance and expression like they do. So I think it's a really good choice for them, and I really am looking forward to see how that program develops over the course of the season, because there's definitely room to grow.
Well, I kind of disagree on Rack 2, because I think Rack 2 is an exciting piece of classical music, but it's one of those pieces that people tend to just skate to rather than skate with, and they are very clearly skating with the music here. Well, speaking of skaters who are amazing performers, let's talk about Utano Yoshida and Shingo Nishiyama from Japan, who placed sixth at Lake Placid.
They did so well. I was so shocked, considering they're just like a brand new team. They've only been skating together for 6 months, and yet they've already got like that level of performance, and, you know, they feel so connected as a team.
And Shingo was a single skater last season, so this is like his first foray into ice dance as well. And he's such a good ice dance boy.
I know. His edges and like overall basic skating skills are really, really strong. And he's got good posture. And he really like partners Utano really well. And I really appreciate that he really like matches her level of enthusiasm in their performances. you kind of look at both of them rather than just like focusing on one of the skaters, which I feel like is kind of what happens to with, especially when I watch Ice Dance with a lot of the time, I just focus on the lady rather than both of them. But here, I didn't have that problem because they were both just so like infectiously joyous.
Yeah, you can tell that they're both having the time of their life. They're just like so happy to be skating together, and they both really enjoy the music, and it's just like so much fun to watch them skate. Like, you have Avonlea and Vadim, who are both like very polished and they're like gorgeous flows, and then you have like Utana and Shigo, who you just like enjoy watching because they're just like so happy to be here.
They are. I'm so happy that they've like they came out so strongly for their first competition, like first proper international competition as a team. I would have liked to see them place higher. I think they probably deserved to be placed a little higher, but I'm really, you know, not that surprised considering they are a brand new team and Japanese ice dance teams don't, you know, garner those high marks that other bigger feds with like a stronger presence in the discipline do. So, I'm interested to see what their trends in the scoring will be like if they like perform better than they did here in like future competitions. I'm very excited. I want them to do better.
Well, this goes back to my issues with component scores altogether, because sure, like their skating skills and some of their other aspects of components are not as strong, but like they were probably one of my favorite performers at this event, and I would argue that they deserve higher in their performance category at least, and they didn't really get that.
They have a really nice synchronicity for a team so new. Like, you'd expect them to be a bit more rough, I guess.
Yeah, they seem like they're already really comfortable with one another, despite the short time they've been skating together, which is, it's really refreshing to see. Although I do have like a little note that their free dance is to Don Quixote, and all I can think is, because the music cut is very similar to Alina's, all I can think is that program in my head.
Chorus line, I think, is a really good choice for them.
It's so upbeat and really, like, matches them well as a team. I'm so excited for them. I need Asian Ice Dance to rise, and I think that they might be the team to help it do that.
Please. Yes. Also, like, slightly related, so they trained at TCC, so I was really excited to see Tracy Wilson in the Kiss and Cry with them.
Yes!
I love Tracy Wilson.
So cute. They had really good kiss and cries too. A little shout out to Gab and Mariam, who were both at Lake Placid, and Gab gave them both some plushies that were wearing their free dance costumes. It was really cute to see in the kiss and cry. I love seeing stuff like that.
Yes.
And another shout out just in general from the competition was Miku Makita and Tyler Gunara of Canada for their really fun hairspray rhythm dance. Unfortunately, I think the video has been taken off YouTube because of copyright issues. It might still be on like the original stream video, but just it was so fun and upbeat, and I love hairspray so much. It's what we need. We need fun choices of the rhythm dance this season, and this was one of them.
Okay, let's move on to our ladies. At Courchevel, we had Kamila Valieva of Russia in first, Soyoung Lee of Korea in second, and Maya Kromik of Russia in third. And at Lake Placid, we had Alyssa Liu of the USA in first, Yeonjong Park of Korea in second, and Anastasia Tarakanova of Russia in third.
Yeah, this was kind of a crazy competition in ladies.
Well, that's true of any ladies competition.
Mood. But we definitely, we had some very much anticipated debuts at both of these competitions of brand new junior skaters. Like we had Camilla and Courchevel, and we had Alyssa at Lake Placid, both of whom, this is their first age-eligible junior season. They've both been kind of hyped up for various reasons in both, you know, the general and also in the fan communities. So I think going into these weeks, everyone was kind of, you know, all eyes on them to see how they'll do. And obviously, both of them ended up on the top of the podium, so something went right in both cases.
We had the unfortunate withdrawal of Ksenia Sinitsina from Lake Placid due to travel document issues. I was really excited to see her, so...
Both her and her coach reportedly had issues with their visas and couldn't, unfortunately, attend the competition here. I really hope that she gets reassigned to another Junior Grand Prix fairly soon, and I hope this doesn't, like, knock her plans off, you know, the rhythm of the season and all that.
Although her travel document issues are quite interesting considering she was in America not too long ago for choreography and coaching. the alternate couldn't get a visa in time either.
So we just had one Russian lady at a junior Grand Prix, which we haven't seen in quite a while. It's definitely a weird sight to see. But yeah, we had the two highly anticipated juniors. We had a huge crop of brand new junior skaters across both competitions, ladies' fields. I mean, you know, that's a general trend considering we have had so many junior ladies who were really prevalent in the last couple of seasons all move up to seniors this season because they've all become senior age eligible. We talked about this like when we covered Junior Worlds, how there was perceivably going to be a little bit of a power vacuum in ladies considering so many of the top ones have left. And we have both Camilla and Alyssa coming out here, both, you know, with really highly technical programs, making their arguments to say, look, we deserve to be at the top of this next crop of juniors.
It will be interesting to see.
Yeah, and it was also interesting to see that we had no Japanese ladies on in the podium for either of these events here.
Yeah, I was really excited for some of the junior ladies, especially for Tomoe, who had a great junior season last season, to come back and like try and break through now that like the top like juniors from last season have moved on to seniors. But it's unfortunate that jumps are important.
Yeah, because at Courchevel we had both Tomoe and Nana, who were both present in the junior seasons of the past, and then at Lake Placid we had Azusa and Mana. And they are both new on the junior scene. This is the first season that they're age eligible, and they're both trained by Mia Hamada. And both of them had issues with their jumps in both of their programs, unfortunately. It's very strange to see Japanese ladies having struggles in these events. I really hope that this is just, you know, early season woes, and maybe as the competitions keep on going, they might gain a little bit more consistency and be able to medal.
I'm just interested to see how Camilla and Alyssa will fare against each other because their scores were very similar. So I wonder how it will go when they're actually being judged against each other rather than across different events.
Well, let's move on to talking about some of our favorites from the events.
Yeah, let's talk about Camilla Valieva first, obviously a winner at JGB Courchevel. She was talked about a little bit in the general, you know, Russian fan circles last year when she was still competing in novice. And she also trains with Teri Tutberetsi in Russia. So, you know, she's got that kind of expectation of what her skating and her programs and her technical content is going to be like. I think that she's got the most, like, amazing extension and flexibility overall.
Oh, yes.
Her spin positions.
This is the thing. I have a thing where I really don't like eye spins most of the time. I think they look really ugly, but hers is so nice.
She's just so flexible, and she has such nice positions. She just needs to hold them.
I know. I wish they would give her choreography that would, like, show off her extension better. And this is kind of, like, a common thing with most programs choreographed by Danielle, you know. And especially her short program, where it seems that, like, instead of choosing to selectively highlight, like, little, like, bits of the music, it seems like she's hitting a different position and changing at every single, like, beat of the music. As soon as it changes and goes to a different note, she's hitting a different position. And it just really, it seems a little bit rushed to me.
It's just overly choreographed.
Yeah.
You don't need to have. I'm always in support of skaters hitting their musical accents, but you also don't need to hit every single note.
There was that really nice spiral that she does in her free skate, like halfway through it, going into one of the last jumps in it.
But she holds it for like half a second.
It's a part of the music that would really work if she were able to hold it. And I really wish she was allowed to, you know, show off her beautiful extension and hold that edge. And yes, please, Danielle, give her some choreography that shows off her beautiful lines more.
I just wish for like one season, all of Sambo just got non-Danielle choreography.
Honestly. Let's talk about her quad toe though, because in my opinion, it's probably the best junior ladies, or just ladies in general, quad we've seen done in competition. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really nice. I really like her positions throughout it. She rotates it fully. It's like, it got high GOE, and I thought it for once actually deserved the GOE. It's a surprise to me.
I feel like there was a moment where everyone was like, oh, that's high GOE,
And then after a few seconds, after we had processed the jump, we were like, you know what? It's fine.
Once we saw the replay and saw that there was pretty minimal pre-rotation and she fully rotated on the landing, I think all of us were kind of like, oh no, okay, no, that's fine. We're okay with that.
It was just the whiplash of everyone being like, oh, that's high. And then like 30 seconds later, everyone being like, that's fine.
I'm interested to see how her scores will increase if she skates cleanly, because she wasn't clean here. Like she fell in both programs and she didn't have a combo in the short program. I just gotta say that in the short program, as soon as she finished and she looked like she was about to burst into tears on the spot, I felt so bad for her. I just wanted to pick her up and go, oh, baby, it's all right.
I just want to protect all of the children.
I also would like to say that she's skating the two pretty heavy pieces of music, which is also like stuff that is also a signature from that camp that they don't really like fun. But I just give them something fun. She's a junior. Give her something like makes her also stand out from like all of these other juniors trying to skate really serious music but like not having like the expression, because she has like the component. She is like a good performer, but I feel like this is my view with most F3E girls, is that we only really see them skate to one type of music, and that one type only, and like then they just get stuck with it for like the rest of their career. So if you let them skate to more fun things as a junior, they will continue to like experiment as they become seniors.
Camilla whips out a Mambo number 5.
I'd really like to see them give her some variety in expression, whether that's just by giving her different programs next season that allow her to explore different sides of performance, because I think that could really help her. Because I think again, she's 13. I'm not expecting the world when it comes to performance because she's so young. That's something that's going to hopefully build in time. But yeah, I definitely would like to see her, you know, have a bit more varied expression further down the line rather than just sticking to the one facial expression through the whole program. Okay, let's have a talk about So Young-Wi, who came in second here at Courchevel. Honestly, I saw her last season in the Junior Grand Prix and I didn't really like immediately adopt her. I think that her costumes are beautiful, and they were beautiful last season. They're still beautiful this season. She was somewhat lacking in like the performance department last season. I think same with Camilla, they both kind of stick to the one same facial expression throughout the whole program. And, you know, that kind of put me off. But then I saw her perform here and like her jumps here were so beautiful and clean in both programs. And I really, really fell in love with her short program to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I think it's a really good choice for her.
Yeah.
I think the choreography helps a lot in the performance, just the way the choreography set out. It kind of forces her, I guess, to perform at least to some extent.
And the fact that the music is it's quite a serious piece of music, I think that her natural facial expressions that she's like used to using in her programs, I think it suits the program really, really well. Not so much for Amelie, I don't think, but yeah.
I love Amelie. I will stand anyone who skates to Amelie. It's one of my favorite soundtracks. Why I stand Kali Sakamoto. But yeah, I like Soyeon. She has amazing jumps. Like, God, the Korean ladies and their jumps. Someone needs to take those jumps and give them to the Japanese ladies.
Jumps and nice dresses kind of just encapsulates Korean ladies.
Or like the Korean ladies and the Japanese ladies should just have that training camp together where the Japanese ladies teach them expression and the Korean ladies teach them how to jump.
I think you're onto something.
Back to Soyeon family. She had some really cute moments in the choreography. Like a couple of times she like sends kisses to the audience, but she just does that. She doesn't like perform the act of sending the kiss. It's just like, here's a touch of the lip onto and then like moves on to the next move, and it's like not performing enough for me.
Here's something my choreographer told me to do.
So she's very focused on her element. Her jumps are great. I like her spins.
Her layback is so nice. Her Beelman is really, really good. She gets great extension on it. She has really long limbs, and I think she uses like her legs and her arm movements really like effectively. She has really good lines, and yeah, I really hope that she works a bit more on her expression, because if she works on that, you know, that's going to give her the edge that she kind of needs.
Yeah. And I think that's true of, like, all of the Korean ladies that we've seen at these two competitions. They're all, like, great technicians. Some of the best technicians I think I've seen, the past two weekends, both in ladies and men. But their expressions, they all, like, stick to, like, the same facial expression throughout their entire programs. They're not performing with the music. And obviously, they're juniors. They're young. And I hope that they, in the future, get better at actually performing.
It's really nice to see the Korean ladies in juniors, like, getting the medals. It's nice to see more variety in the podiums.
The prevalence, especially in the last couple seasons of the Korean ladies, like, obviously we had, like, skaters like Young Yu and Eunsu and Yeolim, and now this season we have Soyoung and Yongjung. You know, I think this is definitely an effect of, like, something like the Yuna Kim wave. Now we're getting all of the skaters that were kind of influenced by her or inspired by her when they were younger, and now these, you know, kids are becoming age eligible, and especially at Lake Placid with Soyeonji, her Yuna tribute to skating to Dance Macabre with basically the same costume in her short program, you know, that's pretty much a pretty good example of definitely the, you know, influence that Yuna has had on all of these, you know, new Korean ladies. And that's really, really cute to see.
Well, before we move on to Lake Placid, let's just give some shout-outs to Tomoe Kawabata's beautiful short program and also her sweet, sweet Lutz.
We also have, yeah, Nana Araki with her really beautiful Nausicaa Valley of the Wind free skate, which is really, really pretty.
And also her amazing spins.
And lastly, we also have Chukka Kalinchang from Hong Kong being just so cute in her short program. I think a lot of us immediately adopted her when we saw her.
Yeah, she was so adorable.
Okay, let's move on to Lake Placid and starting off with our champion, Alyssa Lu. Oh boy.
Her junior Grand Prix debut. She is the first U.S. lady to win gold at a junior Grand Prix event since 2013.
And I mean, just in general, I think there was so much pressure on her going into this event. You know, she won senior nationals last season. This is her first, you know, competition internationally that she's going to be competing at. She's got her technical ability that we already knew from, you know, past competitions. There was obviously so much pressure going into this event, and, you know, she managed to pull it off. And, you know, even though she did have a problem in the free skate where she did fall on that one axel, overall she skated really well considering. And yeah, I'm just it was a lot to process. I think
I want her mental strength.
Yeah, Alyssa is, like, one of the strongest people ever for having to deal with, like, U.S. media.
Yeah.
Literally everything that they've been pushing on her for the past year. It's insane.
Yeah, ever since nationals, even before nationals.
And she's definitely improved, like, performance-wise. She has, like, this presence on the ice. I can't really, like, fully explain it, but, like, when she's on the ice, you pay attention to her.
She's really, really charming. She captures your attention, especially in her short program, which I'm really glad that she recycled from last season. It's really, really cute. You know, she's all smiley and happy, and you automatically smile when you see her, which is, you know, I really enjoy. I think that overall, you know, I think her skating skills have also improved over the off season. I think she looked a little bit faster here than she did the last time I saw her at US Nationals.
She's adorable, but we must discuss the quadlets.
We unfortunately have to. It would be a disservice if we didn't talk about the quad Lutz, because there was definitely a lot of discussion going on about it and her tech in general going into this event. And yeah, she landed the quad Lutz on the free. It's the first quad landed by an American woman in international competition, and the first time a lady has ever landed a triple axel and a quad in the same free skate. So that's a definite big achievement. But yeah, her quad Lutz, it still does have problems with both the takeoff and the landing. She does pre-rotate quite a bit on the ice before she leaves it, and during this competition, even though it wasn't called, you can see clearly in the replay that she did land on the quarter and finish the last quarter of rotation on the ice.
Yes, she really only did three rotations in the air.
Yeah. Most of the time when I see her jump, Alyssa tends to, like, slow down quite a bit before she, like, actually jumps. She really does rely on the fact that she is a really quick rotator in the air. And I think that could possibly become a problem later down in the track, you know, post puberty, when that might be suffered by that. You know, a lot of ladies do have troubles with their rotational speed once they hit puberty. And I'm really worried that because her jumping technique is so like rooted in that it could become an issue further down the line and cause her problems, which I really don't want.
She also doesn't get much height or distance from her jumps. They're pretty small. But no, it's the tech panel. Like, the job of the tech panel is there to help the skaters realize what they need to improve on. And tech panels that aren't strict, that let skaters get away with, like, under-rotation issues and edge issues and stuff like that, it's not helping the skater. It's making it worse for them in the long run. And it's a disservice to the sport itself.
I'm interested to see how her marking and judging overall will change when she's not competing in the US, because, you know, up until this point in national level competitions, we've only seen her compete really in the US, and now in the juniors, you know, this is her first competition as a junior internationally, it's in the US. So I'm interested to see if anything will change going forward.
I doubt it. I feel like it would have been different if her first Grand Prix event wasn't Lake Placid.
Yeah, if it set a different precedent for her marking, I suppose. I'm really charmed by Alyssa. I think she is the like most adorable kid. I just really want the best for her. And I'm worried that just with what we're seeing overall, that's not going to happen, and we're seeing like things that could potentially become problems later on down the line in her career.
I just want to cuddle her up in like a burrito blanket and protect her from everything wrong in the world, which is mostly the ISU in the USA.
Okay, Youngjun.
Yes, Youngjun. Let's talk about her. She did really, really well here. This was her junior Grand Prix debut, and she came in second, which is amazing. Again, like So-young, they both have really, really strong jumps. Really good extension too, and beautiful costumes, I think.
She's such a lovely skater. She has amazing jumps, as you said. Lovely flow on the ice and such great extension. I really enjoy watching her. But once again, I revisit the issue that expression isn't really there. And like, once again, they're juniors. This is her junior Grand Prix debut. There's so many things that could be causing like her not being as performant as she could be. And obviously she will continue to grow as the season progresses.
And she looked so happy in the kiss and cry when she received her scores.
She was so surprised. She and her coach were so adorable.
That was just so heartwarming to see, because she really did deserve this medal. She did such a good job considering it was her first international, you know, junior assignment. I'm really, really impressed. I want to see how she'll do in her second assignment and later on in the season. Just Korean ladies rise. I love the rise. This is something I can get behind. And our other shout outs for Lake Placid include Azusa Tanaka, who has really, really good basics and body awareness for her age, despite only being just 13, her first junior Grand Prix event. I'm really hoping that in her next assignment, if she gets one, that she'll be a little bit more, you know, consistent with her jumps, because they were a little bit all over the place here.
So-young Ji, as we mentioned earlier, for her unit tribute, it's so brave to like go out and like skate to a program that unit Kim skated to is like so famous for, and to like do a tribute to her. She did so well.
And speaking of tributes, we also have Jessica Lin with the Hope and Legacy tribute.
Oh my god, I was crying throughout that entire program.
And we also have to give a big shout out to Anastasia Tarakanova, who medaled at this event. You know, she had quite a tumultuous off season, you know, splitting up with her previous coach, Evgeny Plushenko, and moving back to her old coach, Svetlana Panova. And, you know, she's managing to keep it all up. And even though she didn't do quite as well in the short program, she managed to skate pretty damn good free and get on that podium. So good on her. I think that this weekend, these couple weekends, I've just been watching so much figure skating. I'm glad that it's back, but also my body needs to recover for a couple days. I need to get some sleep.
This competition at the very least was not nice to your time zone, baby.
No, it wasn't. I was up until 4 a.m. last night watching the pairs, and then I went to sleep and then woke up at 9 to watch Alyssa. And so now I'm just like, I'm glad I'm getting my vitamin skating, but at the same time, I would like some sleep. Okay, So our shout out of the week for this week is to Harshita Rotani and Vansh Bhatia of India, who are an ice dance team that competed at Lake Placid. They came in last place, but I think all of us here at In The Loop were very charmed by their performance, even though they, I believe, got a total score of 10 over both the rhythm dance and free dance. It's just really, you know, it's so important for these Junior Grand Prix events not to have test minimums, you know, to let these skaters compete.
It's so important for these teams from smaller feds to be introduced to a global audience, and if it means that they'll get more recognition and have a wider audience, both that they can ask for help for funding, and I'm waiting to like help them get funding, honestly.
Yes, where is their crowdfund?
And it also just means that you have more people supporting you. Like, for these skaters, just like being able to like send them messages on Twitter and Instagram saying like, congratulations, you did so well, that's such a booster to their happiness and like gives them reason to want to keep skating and to keep going forward, because not only are they doing something that they love, but they know that other people are loving what they're doing.
Yeah, and especially Ted was saying in his commentary and again with this interview with Harshita that they actually have to drive like 2 hours on the weekend to get to it.
And they only get like 1 hour each time they go there.
Which is a massive commitment to just to keep training. And seriously, go, if you haven't watched it already, go find Hashida's interview with Ted on the ISU Junior Grand Prix YouTube channel, because it is so heartwarming and uplifting to see her talk about how much skating means to her as a skater from India and from such a small federation. I'm just, every time I see someone make the argument that, you know, Junior Grand Prix should have technical minimums, I go, no. If we had those kind of restrictions, we wouldn't have skaters like people like Javier Fernandez, who started off in the Junior Grand Prix, who wouldn't have probably been able to compete back then because of his, you know, technical ability when he started out, you know.
Yeah.
It's so important to give skaters of all backgrounds the opportunities to advance in the sport and to compete internationally. It's, you know, it's so important.
And also for like representation like purposes, because if you see a smaller federation skater skating on an international scene, it's going to inspire other people from similar countries to say that they can do it too. Like, how many skaters do you think in Spain have been inspired by Javi?
I was so excited to see a skater from Malaysia competing at the Junior Grand Prix, because I know that they were probably super inspired by Julian, who's amazing. And like, for people who don't know his story, he like originally was just training in rinks and malls because they didn't have like, he didn't have like an actual rink he could train at, and he went to the Olympics.
It's really important for skaters like them to be able to get that international experience, and I really hope that we get to see them later in the season at maybe another Junior Grand Prix, because, you know, they deserve.
Well, thank you all for listening. We hope to see you again at our next episode.
We would also like to give a massive thank you to our transcribing and quality control team, our dearest Evie for editing and fixing all of our issues, and Gab for doing all of our amazing graphic design.
And for her amazing banners that we saw at Lake Placid.
Yes, she put together the Thank You Ted and the JGP crew banner.
If you guys want to get in touch with us, then please feel free to contact us via our website, intheloopodcast.com, or on Twitter or on our Instagram. You can find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or just wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be there.
If you do enjoy the show and you want to help support us, then please consider making a donation to our coffee page. And we'd like to give you a huge thank you to all of our listeners who have contributed to our team thus far. Shout out to Neil and Cammy, who have donated in the last couple of weeks. Thank you guys so much. It means so much to everyone on the team.
You can also find the links to all of our individual social media pages and our coffee on the website, and also our interviews with the juniors that we mentioned earlier will be on the website.
Yes, go check those out. And if you guys are listening on iTunes, please consider leaving a rating and a review if you enjoyed the show. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. This has been Evie,
Neve,
and Yogita. Bye, guys.
See ya.
Stay tuned for more children.
More children.
More kids.
All the children.